Attention Magazine, making a difference for people affected by ADHD. Check out the August issue, where we'll cover back to school tips and strategies, college and alternative schools for your child with ADHD, apps and assistive technology, pros and cons, and lifelong education. Attention Magazine is chad.org. Click, join, get involved. Download the Attention Magazine app on iTunes.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
To Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I am your guest host, Caroline McGuire, and we have a great show for you tonight. Our title is ADHD, Social Media, and the Ability to Self-Regulate. And with us in our virtual studio is Dr. David Nowell, and he is a wonderful guest. He's really informative about this. Tonight is August 19th, 2015 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And before we get into the meat of our show, a few announcements. It's not too early to start planning for the CHAD conference. This year, it's November 12th to the 14th in New Orleans, Louisiana. That will be fun. To learn more, go to chad.org. Also, Dr. Barkley asked me to remind you to check ADHDfund.com, a crowdsourcing website designed to raise money for small-scale research for ADHD worldwide. And I think that's the end of our announcements. Doctor is in private practice. And he is an inspiring teacher and speaker. He has workshops and retreats, and he helps those impacted by ADHD. He's a member of the American Psychological Association, and he is in my neck of the woods in Massachusetts Neuropsychological Association. And he is someone who has really delved into social media. He completed his PhD from the University of Alabama, and I can't say enough about this guest. So welcome, and I just want to dive in. I'm so excited about this topic. This topic was inspired from real folks who wanted to know more. So welcome, Doctor.
Good to be here, Caroline. What's exciting you about the topic tonight?
What's exciting me is that for years, I work with families, as you know, as you do also. Parents have come to me and said to me that they were convinced that ADHD people should just get off the internet altogether. And as social media came around, you know, in the past 10 years, there's been this push that maybe we just can't handle it. And so that was really what inspired the show. It's just years of people saying that, you know, the social media is just too much and really we can't handle it. Do you have any thoughts on that? It's sort of a big chunk there.
You know, sometimes you'll hear that perhaps social media and technology in general is increasing the incidence of ADHD. And it's far too early to know yet. But we can say this, that social media and technology and video games reveal to us how dopamine-seeking we are. So to the extent that we're wired to crave dopamine, to need dopamine, to that extent we may be seduced or even find ourselves in a soft way addicted to social media.
Okay. But only in a soft way is what you're saying.
I'm using the term soft addiction. There's a number of addictions that seem to fall short of the medical concept of addiction. and the use of the term addiction may minimize the real challenges of folks who are struggling with medical addictions, for example, addictions to substances. Soft addictions could be addiction to scratch tickets, pornography, or, for our conversation tonight, certainly there's a tendency to become dependent on the instant gratification or dopamine associated with social media.
So what you're saying is, in a sense, it's all about the dopamine.
It's all about the dopamine, and everything is really all about the dopamine. Dopamine is the most important neurotransmitter for a conversation like this. Our conversation is, in this universe of wonderful possibilities, how do we select the goals that matter most to us according to our values and our skills? And how do we break those goals down into steps? And then how do we sequence those steps? Which do we do first and then second? How do we do the fun parts of that sequence? And how do we do the boring parts on a Thursday night at 9 p.m. when there's another Vine video I haven't watched, or there's another Snapchat notification? You know, how do we do the things that matter to us? You know, for what I want, fall 2015, spring 2016, what is the most important thing to do now? Really thriving with ADHD requires high awareness living. It's a bit of a heavy burden to be an adult with ADD.
I hear you there. So you're saying high awareness living. Would you mind telling me a little bit more about that?
Do you remember when you were a kid, do you have brothers and sisters?
I don't. I'm an only.
Oh, well, then you had friends come over and spend the night or the weekend with you sometimes?
Sure, absolutely.
And, you know, you would make a sofa cushion fort, like you'd take the cushions and you'd build a fort and you'd throw a blanket over the top. You put a lamp in there. And then you'd bring Pop-Tarts in there and maybe a record player. And basically, you created a little nest for yourself, kind of, you know, like if someone had said, why are you bringing all that food in there? Are you going to live there? You know, you couldn't have answered the question, but the idea was, I'm going to go into a special place. It's just for me, or just me and my friend, and we're going to be separate from you know, the other time and space around me. I'm going to create a sofa cushion fort.
Yes.
I really encourage my clients to create a little fort like that for themselves.
Okay.
On a Saturday or Sunday, when they're centered and rested, and sort of check in, you know, put down distractions and sort of ask questions like, what's out of balance this week? What do I want more of this next week? And then with that spirit in mind, begin to look at their schedule and literally write down the kinds of experiences they want to have. Schedule them. You know, maybe I didn't get to the gym enough this past week, so that's a priority. Or maybe I've been doing lots of things for other people and neglected myself. Or I've been really focused on myself this week, maybe a little bit more service. And in that spirit, I look at my upcoming week and I ask, how much television is just right for me? How much social media? I encourage my clients to actually schedule how much time they're going to spend on Instagram. Literally put it on their calendar, treat it as an appointment. What I don't tell my clients is whether that should be 15 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour and a half. That's what requires high awareness living.
Oh, okay. So I love the fort because it just conjures up so many images, and I think we've all had the fort, right? And it is a nice image, and what I hear you saying is sort of check out. And
check
away.
Out just briefly and look at your calendar and treat your social media as a value.
Okay.
How important is it? I think social media is amazing. The ways in which I can stay in touch with friends from college and high school, or the ways in which I can connect with people. There's some fascinating people on Instagram that are doing things that inspire me. There's interesting, really creative movie makers. If you consider a 7-second film a movie, there's fantastic movie makers on Vine. I love social media. I think it's important. And the question for you and I, and anyone listening, is how important is it to you? How much of your time? How much? And could you budget that and actually schedule it tomorrow and treat it as an appointment? Just like, I'll spend an hour doing my homework, I'll spend 30 minutes on Snapchat, and then 20 minutes doing some cardio.
I love it. But let me ask you a question, okay? We work with ADHD adults. We know that this social media is a little bit of, you had a good analogy, you called it a siren, okay? A calling, a temptress. So let me ask you, can people sort of do that work of checking out, or is it just too much of a siren?
I don't think that it is impossible. I think it's hard. And I think what you do is you try some things. And you and I tonight are going to give several ideas, several strategies. We're going to ask listeners just to hear us out. And if one or two of these appeal to you, try them. Be a scientist with yourself. Determine if these can work for you. We're going to give you specific strategies. And it is unacceptable to me to say, well, I guess I am out of control. If somebody said that in my office, I would just say, I just can't let you stop there. You have to live in a world where there are chocolate chip cookies, scratch tickets, gambling, social media. It's just one of the distractions or the sirens we have to contend with. And I think, yes, you can.
Okay. Well, I love that optimism, and I actually completely agree with you. And we are going to get to strategies. But let me ask you another question. You had a really beautiful analogy that you told me about that involved a hero that I actually had to look up. I'm embarrassed to admit it's been too long. And you talked about Odysseus as a mindfulness hero.
So
that plays into the sirens. Can you explain that? Because I think that image will stick with people.
Yes. So, Caroline, you and I were talking about this on the phone last week.
Yes.
As we were preparing our thoughts. So, Odysseus, as you remember, was a character from Greek mythology. Like a lot of us, he had a split within him. On the one hand, he loved his job. His job was to get his little boat across the sea. On the other hand, he loved the song of the sirens. The sirens were half bird, half a woman creatures with this amazing voice, just beautiful voice. And he would get his boat out on the sea, and he would say, can't we just go listen to the sirens just for a minute? And so he would direct his boat to the sirens. Inevitably, he would crash his boat because the sirens lived where the water was shallow and there's lots of rocks. So one morning, practicing mindfulness, as I encourage my clients to do, Odysseus sat quietly. Before he opened email, before he looked at Instagram, he sat quietly and he said, now what am I here on the planet to do and be? And what do I want to experience today? What's important to me? He said, what I really want is to do my job. I get my boat to the other side and my employer says, hey, way to go, Odie. That's what they call him. They call him Odie. Way to go. Good job. That's what I want. That's what I get paid to do. And I feel good when I do that. So for today, I'm going to tie myself to the mast so that I can't change direction. I'm going to tie myself to the mast right now before I leave. And then I'm going to put wax in my sailor's ears so they can't even hear the song of the sirens. And with that certitude, he directs his boat across the sea. So, my clients rarely encounter half-bird, half-woman creatures. But there are sirens, you know, like the snack machine calls your name, scratch tickets, drugs, or for our conversation tonight, social media is a siren. It's constantly calling. It's saying, David, this is easier. David, this is more immediate than whatever it is that perhaps is more relevant to my goals. So how do we tie ourselves to the mast? What I mean is, how do you decide in the morning or even the night before, how do you tie yourself up to the mast and say, here's my intention today regarding social media?
I love that image, and I hope that people will keep that image with them of the sirens and the fact that we need to tie ourselves to the mast in order to sort of resist the immediate. And there's been a lot said. We do have to go to a commercial break, but I do want to say that, you know, one of the things you touched on, I'd love to touch on more when we come back, is really that this is about self-regulation. I think that that's sort of woven. And that this can be helped, it sounds like, by mindfulness. So I'm going to go to a commercial, but I'd like to before we go, mention if you are interested, obviously this is a phenomenal, phenomenal guest. Go to drnowell.com. drnowell.com. It is on the Attention Talk Radio website as well, so that you can just, you know, see within there. But really, such a great guest. I'm going to go to a commercial, and we will be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back, everyone, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We are here with Dr. David Nowell, and he is a great guest. We're talking about social media, and the fact is that we're talking about a little bit of what makes social media such a siren, such a temptress to all of us with ADHD. And, you know, the provocative side is, you know, is this an addiction? And we've decided it's a soft addiction, but it really is about this beautiful image the doctor brought forward about Odysseus tying himself to the mast in order to do his job and be able to resist the sirens. And you said something, doctor, before the break, where you talked about this is about self-regulation and intention. And I was interested in the intention piece of that. Do you mind going into that more?
You know, the central executive function is this concept of self-regulation, and if you just want to learn just one thing about executive function, that's probably the place to start. Self-regulation means by the time we reach early adulthood, we're expected to regulate our voice volume, to regulate our arousal, you know, not just to fall asleep. We're expected to regulate our motivation. You may end up dating or marrying someone whose hobbies or family or friends aren't interesting to you, and you regulate your interest because you're engaged with relationships. We regulate money so we don't run out of money before the end of the month. We regulate our affect. Yeah, you know, inside, I think of nothing but murder all day long. But if you work with me, you just see a guy smiling, talking about the Red Sox or the weather. I regulate my affect on the outside, the expression of affect. And we also regulate our downtime, our time with television or time with technology. And social media. I've suggested that adults with ADHD are quite sensitive to dopamine tricksters. These are activities that make you feel like you did something. For example, you create a new pin a new list at Pinterest, and you have this feeling of satisfaction. It's real dopamine. It feels like you did something. You upload a picture of food to Facebook, and after a pause, you get a message. Successfully uploaded with an exclamation point, and you feel like, yes, I did it. And then you come back later and 5 people liked your picture of food, and you feel like, yes. And I say it's a trickster because this doesn't really relate to any of my shorter or longer term goals. I don't feel like I'm here on the planet to pin another list at Pinterest or to put another picture of pad thai on Facebook. So it's a trickster. What I really want for myself is that dopamine hit that you get when your teacher says, here's your black belt. Or when you're single and you see somebody nice and they take your number or you get their number and you go, yes, that's really important because it's related to a longer term goal for some people, which is a relationship. Or you see people who frame their first dollar bill. They start a business and that first dollar is a dopamine hit. Those are sort of real dopamine experiences that are related to goals that are valuable. A lot of my clients are spending more time on social media then really relates to their core values. So it's a trick.
I love that because I think that that's absolutely true, and hence why the show, inspired by many, many parents who've sat in my office and said, you know, I think this is the devil. Like, this is taking away the goals, you know, and I love the analogy of the trickster because it's true. it gives you a dopamine hit, and, you know, winning a swim trophy gives you a dopamine hit, but that relates to your long-term goal of going to college,
right,
and being fit and everything. Do you think, though, that mindfulness is one of the solutions? You seem to be intimating that when you talk about the sirens and everything.
You know, Dr. Sarah Lazar at Harvard is busy studying the brains of long-term meditators and finding that that meditation actually changes brains through plasticity. Meditation, or in fact, really anything we do, trauma changes brains. Learning to tie knots changes your brain. Learning a language or learning a tango changes your brain. But mindfulness, which almost seems like you're not specifically doing anything, actually changes your brain. Specifically, it increases your capacity to experience awareness, sort of internal awareness, interoceptive awareness. So the area of the brain, insular cortex, associated with interoceptive awareness actually changes. Seated meditation is a tough sell for a lot of people who are hyperactive, especially if they're young or if they're busy. So the good thing about mindfulness is it doesn't take a special Sanskrit word. It doesn't take a satin cushion. It just takes a commitment to being present. And I recommend that people do it in two different ways. Number one, on a Saturday or Sunday, spending time with their calendar, looking at their calendar for the upcoming week, not just using their calendar as a way to get to the veterinarian's office on time, but looking at their calendar as a way to committing to living the life that they feel they're here on the planet to live. What am I here to be and have and manifest, share? And then in addition to that weekly calendar review, I recommend in the morning, before you open email or social media, you check in and say, okay, once again, what matters to me? What do I want for myself? And as I look at my calendar, does this calendar reflect my values? If not, there's some changes I want to start making. As I look at my calendar, which of these activities and commitments make me feel jazzed and on fire? Which of these activities and commitments make me feel kind of numb? And who can help me with that? Where will I be distracted today? Could I hire an ADD coach to serve as body double? Could I make use of a Pomodoro technique to get through a really boring task? Or could I get that off of my plate altogether by outsourcing it to somebody else? And then in my free time today, as I look at the unscheduled time, I ask, do I want to spend that time checking email? Do I want to spend that time shopping? Do I want to spend that time talking to friends, catching up on news? Or do I want to spend that time on Yik Yak, Pinterest, Instagram, whatever my favorite social media are? And then right now, making a commitment, how long will I spend on social media today? Mindfully aware of, if I don't make the commitment now, then something else will happen. Nature abhors a vacuum, and so I'll just end up spending absolutely whatever time is available to me on that, because it's a dopamine trickster.
Okay, that is so important. So I love this idea that the mindfulness creates sort of an awareness, and you're committing to really having the life you want to have, right, rather than having the life that sort of happens to you. And that's what I'm hearing you say, is that the calendar and the day is really the ADHD person making a commitment to try to have this. I'm going to ask you a question.
Yes.
You know, there are folks who would say to me, if I said this to them, and I'm sure they've said it to you, that it does just happen to them, that the social media creeps in, that as soon as they go on the computer, they are sucked into this world of the dopamine tricksters. What do you say to those folks?
I would say that that actually leads to one of my strategies that I would recommend to our listeners tonight, which is approach this whole thing with a very gentle attitude of ongoing quality improvement. Your goal is not to master social media and technology tomorrow. Your goal is to move into a process of being mindfully aware, dancing with social media in a way where you're leading the dance, as opposed to the reason that Orange is the New Black gets a new season is because we give it our attention. I don't think Snapchat is really a better text platform than the native text application in my Android phone. But the reason Snapchat is worth $2 billion is because we give it our attention. So our attention is a commodity, meaning our attention has value, it's being bought and sold, people want our attention. I got no agenda how much time any of my clients spend on any of these platforms. My agenda is that each of us is deeply seated in that place of awareness, making choices about how much time, how much attention we allocate to each of these activities. So I would say, really, book it, schedule it, treat it as an appointment. At the end of the day, simply ask yourself, how did I do? I committed to spending 30 minutes on Instagram, and I spent 2 hours. Now, in that moment, rather than feeling bad and feeling like I'm a failure, just take note of it. I intended to spend 30 minutes, and I spent 2 hours. What do I want to do tomorrow? Do I want to schedule 2 hours tomorrow, or am I still committed to 30 minutes? If so, what can I do tomorrow at the end of that 30-minute period to make sure that I at least take a mindful break, that I pull back from the screen and take a mindful break? So I might set an alarm for 30 minutes and simply commit. I'm not going to commit to stopping my social media at 30 minutes. That may be too hard, but I am going to commit to just taking a breath. I'm going to breathe in, count to four, breathe out, and count to two. And in that mindful moment, I have a chance to at least be aware of the choices I'm making right now. Be present to it.
So you know that in coaching, we love presence, and we really strive to be present. And I heard a couple of things I really enjoyed. One was you're creating an awareness of the allocated activities by sort of reviewing them, right? How did I do today? What
yeah.
went well? What didn't go well? And then the other thing I think is really important that happens with, I think, a lot of ADHD folks is you're trying to move away from sort of the all or nothing thinking, the black and white thinking. I said 30 minutes, I did 2 hours, therefore there was no point in trying, right?
Right. You're the Ritalin's not working.
Right, right. And I think that black and white thinking can often be why these things don't improve. Now, you mentioned to me another strategy that I really like, and then I know we're going to have to take a break, but you mentioned actually taking action to remove things from your phone. Do you mind talking about that?
Yes, I enjoy asking my audiences, hey, raise your hand if you have a smartphone and you have the Facebook app on your phone. Of course, hands go up. And then I specifically say, you know, you can open your browser on your phone and type www.facebook.com and then sign into Facebook right on your phone and access the content. And everybody goes, yes, I know that. And so I say, then why do you have the app on your phone? And they say, well, that's because it makes it easier. So what we're doing is by putting these apps, and by the way, you and I both agreed that the LinkedIn app is really sluggish, hard to load, no fun, which means I don't spend a lot of time on the LinkedIn app on my phone. I do that on my laptop. But the Facebook app, and oh my gosh, the Instagram app, it loads so fast. That's not an accident. A lot of smart people have worked really hard to make sure those load fast so we can jump on them quick. If I simply take the app off my phone, for example, if my client thinks she's just spending too much time on Pinterest, simple, take the app off your phone. You can still access the content. You go to your browser, you type in www.pinterest, and in that moment, in that typing, you have a chance to be mindfully aware of, I'm going to Pinterest right now. Is this what I want to do and be and have right now? Is this what I want for myself?
So what I'm hearing you say, too, that I think is really a great tip is that by removing the app, you're slowing down the process. And by slowing down the process, you're kind of giving yourself an out, right? You're giving yourself that while it loads and loads and loads, you could think, what am I doing?
Yes, it's called choice architecture. And they, you know, at the grocery store, the high profit items are right at the end of the aisles. They're easy to see. They're at eye level. And then the low profit items, the perishable stuff like produce and milk and meat, are around the edge of the store, kind of harder to get to. So choice, like when you open up a website, they often make it easier to click the more expensive product. So choice architecture is a marketing term for helping customers do the right thing. And by the way, the right thing is always spend more money. So when I put my television in the best room of the house with cushions and couches and paneling and carpets, and I put my piano in the ice-cold living room, that makes it harder to practice piano and easier to watch TV. And when I put my exercise equipment in the unfinished basement, that makes it harder to exercise. And a simple strategy would be put your exercise equipment and piano in the lovely, warm family room and put your television in some other room in the house where it's harder to access.
That is such a good tip. I should be doing that because people need to practice the piano. So I think that a lot of great things, the tip about taking the app off the phone, I'm going to have to go to a break, but I absolutely think that that is something that could really benefit folks. And it's kind of a media break, right? It's a little bit of taking a break from things, slows things down, promotes the mindfulness. I'm going to go to a break, but before I do, I would love to just say to anyone who's, you know, enjoying what they hear, would like to go to a workshop, a lecture, or go see the doctor, that you go to his website, drnowell.com, drnowell.com, and we are going to go to a break.
Great.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We are here with Dr. Nowell in the virtual studio. We are talking about should ADDers get off social media and the fact that this is really about self-regulation, but, you know, this is really something that has strategies and has solutions, which I've often had clients tell me that there's just nothing they can do, and parents especially really struggle with what do I do. So I would really love to continue. We had a couple of good strategies. One is to sort of look at your calendar, have a mindful moment, and allocate time. And the other was to actually take the app off the phone and go in through your browser, which if you haven't done it lately, I did it after I talked to the doctor the other day, and it is slower, and it does make you sort of give up and say, oh, well, I won't do this right now. Doctor, what can people do about this siren call of the social media?
So some of the strategies we're describing require some internal structure. It means it requires that we as individuals put some structure on ourselves. I've asked, for example, that my clients schedule their social media, which makes a commitment to putting it on the calendar the night before. And other strategies don't require sort of internal structure. They require changing the environment. So in our examples, taking the app off your phone, it's hard to do. It's hard. You'll feel like you're dying if you eliminate these apps from your phone. But once you've done that, then the structure is there, and it'll simply make it harder to get back on. You can still access the content. It just makes it harder. So you might ask yourself, if I really feel that right now I just don't have a lot of willpower, then you might look towards these strategies that require changing the environment, you know, the environment of your phone. One example would be to consider a social media fast. You've heard of people doing a news fast where they just go for 2 weeks without, you know, listening to or reading any news. We might do the same thing with social media. Just pick one of your platforms. It doesn't even have to be all of them. And just commit to taking a fast for a period of time, 2 days, a week. If that seems too much, you might consider intermittent fasting. Now, if you're familiar with the 5-2 diet or the 16-8 diet, intermittent fasting means I'm not going to fast all day long, but I will only eat between 12 noon and 8 p.m. So I'm fasting from 8 p.m. until 12 noon the next day. It's a partial fasting, intermittent fasting. Could we do something like that with social media? Simply to say, I'm not going to get on Instagram between these hours. I'll only use Facebook in this window. And outside that window, I won't. And when I'm outside that window, I want to encourage my clients to pay attention. When do they find their disembodied hand reaching out for the phone to access, you know, social media? Do we tend to access it when we're bored or when we feel awkward? You know, 30 years ago, if you're feeling self-conscious in a bar, you could light up a cigarette and you had something to do with your hands. Nobody smokes in bars anymore, but you can always grab your phone and then laugh like you have friends so you don't feel like I'm embarrassed, goofball, standing here by myself. When do I reach out for my phone? I'm embarrassed, I'm lonely, I'm bored, I'm angry. How am I using my phone? It's not just for content. We use it in lots of emotional ways. Intermittent fasting can help us become aware of that.
So I there's so much here that I am excited by because you know that one of my strategies with younger people, teenagers, is to park their phone and sort of get it out of the homework.
Yes.
They're not splitting their attention 8 million ways. But, you know, I think that what you've hit on here is the emotional response, that the social media isn't just about social media. It's about, I mean, the bar analogy is a great analogy. All of us have been sitting at a table waiting for someone and pulled out the phone. We might have 20 years ago pulled out a newspaper, right? And
yeah.
Now we read it on our phone, so the phone becomes that way. And, you know, when you work with clients talking about this, do you find that they, you know, really start to realize the patterns?
One thing that takes a lot, you have to drill and drill and drill and plow through layers of shame and guilt. And some of our listeners, even tonight, we may have inadvertently evoked some shame and guilt in people. Because if you live with ADD, you probably have had multiple experiences of not quite living up to your teacher's expectation, your parents' expectation, or even your own expectation. A lot of adults with ADHD say, you know, here's where I am. Here's where I am. It's not bad, but here's where I could be. And when I notice that discrepancy, when I see myself falling short or spending more time on social media, for example, than I intended, I just feel like I don't want to go report that to Christine because I just feel ashamed. And the most important thing they could do is report that to Christine. Like, super, let's problem solve. This is not about getting to guilt because guilt and shame actually get in the way of ongoing quality improvement. We're simply asking, for example, one of the things that I notoriously do is when I have a new talk, I'll block 4 hours to develop a PowerPoint. It doesn't take 4 hours. It's going to take 12 hours to develop a new PowerPoint. I just would have such a hard time blocking out a day and a half to develop a PowerPoint, so I don't. I schedule 4 hours, which means the other 8 hours have to come from the weekend or staying up late. And eventually, I hope that I learn from this and say, it really does take 12. That's the truth of it. You know, two summers ago, when all the college kids were out of town and I hit every green light, it took me 20 minutes to get across Boston. So I tell myself, it takes 20 minutes to get across Boston, when in fact, it probably takes 40. And if I just tell myself the truth, then I know when to leave the house. So it's just a matter of gathering the truth. What's the truth? How much time did I actually spend on social? Not to be ashamed, just to collect data. And you actually have a strategy that you use with students that follows this logic of collecting data. It has to do with, you were describing it last week, it has to do with doing your homework with social media or without.
Yeah, I'm an advocate, like you, of experiments. So a lot of times, you know, you know as well as I do, young people will say, well, Caroline, you're crazy. I'm not doing that. Or this isn't a problem. You and my mother think this is a problem. This isn't a problem. And so I'm a big advocate, and you and I talked about the fact that you are as well, of experiments. You know, okay, let's time it. You do your homework with social media on and your phone binging at you every 2.5 seconds because we talked about how they're in your office and you see the split attention.
Yep.
And then you do your homework without it. And part of that, I think, creates sort of this sense of the possibilities, right? It is possible to have a life. You can do your homework and then go play basketball. But you also collect data in other ways. You've mentioned collecting data with your clients as well.
Well, the way I encourage clients to collect data is at the end of the day, reviewing their commitments, reviewing their schedule, noticing what happened, and noticing what didn't happen, and beginning to notice patterns. Again, not to induce shame or guilt, but simply to ask questions. What are the patterns here? I tend to overbook in the afternoon when dopamine's not at its peak in my brain. Or I tend to follow through on my commitments to other people, don't follow through on my commitments to myself. Or I tend to follow through better on Tuesday through Friday. Mondays are really hard for me. But the point is just to begin to notice patterns, sensory patterns, social support patterns, you know, emotional patterns. It's not about being bad. It's about getting better. And shame and guilt just get in the way of that. This is about data. Now, you mentioned
that.
The pinging, and another sort of environmental change that doesn't take a lot of willpower, takes a little effort, is to go into each and every social media application and turn off notifications. You might want to leave on your phone vibrator, and you might want to leave on your text messaging vibrating or pinging sound, but all the other, I don't need to know that somebody said LOL to my pictures of kittens in a basket. I don't need to, every time somebody tweeted something about Kanye, I don't need to know that. So I can check Twitter once, twice a day at my own, my own schedule, but I don't need to be getting notifications, because every time your phone pings you, you pull your attention away from the task at hand, at least briefly. It's like popping the clutch, re-engaging the clutch. And in the scientific literature, it's called attention residue. When I move from this task to this task, and then back to this task, I'm literally gumming up the works. The image is you open the sofa and you pull back, the sleeper sofa. You pull back those gears with all the machine oil, and they're covered in cat hair and cracker crumbs. That's attention residue. It's nasty, and it makes homework take twice as long, and it takes office work take 2-3 times as long. If you just do one thing, like look up the Pomodoro technique and try the Pomodoro technique this week, just do one thing for 25 minutes, you're going to be incredibly more powerful, and it will be easier than if you're trying to do 3 and 4 things in that same period.
I first of all, this is just a great image of the sofa coming out with the crackers and the cat hair, because that is something we've all seen, and it's yuck. But so is taking 7-8 hours on a Sunday to do a 45-minute task. It's sort of sad to me. You're tethered to this task, and so the Pomodoro technique, I think, is a great tip, and the attention residue. We are running out of time, but I do really love the images you've created for us, and I think that, your tips about scheduling it, looking at the way the data, and honestly sort of stopping the self-judgment, because we're just here to be better one day at a time, I just adore. Thank you so much, Doctor. This was just great, and I hope our audience got something out of this, and we will definitely be speaking with you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.